In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen.
Amen.
It has been 12 days since New Year's, almost 2 weeks. I won't ask for a show of hands for who has kept their resolutions so far. And if I did, I couldn't raise my hand anyway. I didn't even take on a New Year's resolution this year. It's not that I don't believe in them. I even think resolutions serve a good purpose. They signify hope for change, and they can encourage a group of people to come together toward a goal and build community. They can even be humorous, as some of mine have been in the past. There's nothing wrong with a healthy attitude about oneself. But I sure hope you didn't decide to make your resolution this year to come to church every Sunday. Don't get me wrong, I want to see you here. As a community committed to doing the work of Christ together here in Scottsboro and beyond, carrying on the ministry of those who've gone before us, we need to be here. But making a promise not to miss church, well, it is a bit problematic. Now, if you made this your resolution, God bless you, and just forgive me for a few minutes. Give me a little bit of grace here as I proceed. It seems to me, you see, that promising we'll go to church every Sunday or almost every Sunday sets us up for failure. Not only because, well, sometimes we're not feeling well, or the clock doesn't go off, or the game ran late last night, or whatever. There are a myriad of reasons. I've heard a lot of them. And then, when we don't go, we feel as if we've let ourselves down, or worse, let God down. And none of this is going to help us get closer to God. As it happens, this is what God is most interested in. Us. The real us. Not some aspirational us, but persons with questions and needs and mixed emotions. Not someone pretending to be perfect, but persons who wonder just what it is God is asking us to do in this life. We can take no better example of this imperfection than the Apostle Peter for our consideration in this matter. Sweet Peter, who throughout the Gospels is shown to be the impulsive one, the one who jumps in the water before he considers just how it is he's supposed to walk on this stuff, the one who is so excited about how Jesus is teaching at the Last Supper that he impetuously says, "Then, Lord, wash just not my feet, but all of me." Peter, who promises he'll never desert his Lord, and then, not long after, denies Jesus 3 times. Yes, it seems Peter earned a reputation of being a bit reckless. But important for us, it is that Peter is wholly relatable. And surprise, it is this same Peter who Jesus wants to lead us going forward. Jesus says to him, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Peter shows us it is in just being who we are best called to be apostles for the Lord. Peter also shows us we need to be willing to keep an open mind about what God has in mind for our apostleship. Today, in the New Testament reading, we hear Peter doing just this. This story is in the book of Acts. This is a book written about what happens to the apostles after Jesus has been crucified and is resurrected. It is essentially the story of the beginning of the Christian church. In the beginning of chapter 10 that we read part of today, we find Peter on the roof of his house one day praying. Picture a flat rooftop with a rug to sit on and a place for tea, not our Western-style pitched roofs with shingles and very steep. Up until now, Peter and the other disciples' work had been amongst the Jews, witnessing and bringing them to Christ. But this story we hear today in the Acts of the Apostles is quite different. Peter finds himself unexpectedly summoned to a Roman soldier's house after seeing a very strange vision from God. This vision has a sheet being lowered, and there are four-legged animals in this vision and birds of the air, and a voice Peter hears telling him, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Then some Gentiles arrive to ask Peter to come with him. So Peter goes with the men. And we come into the story today just as Peter is giving a speech in this house of Gentiles. And he begins with the words, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." These words may not seem so striking to us, that God shows no partiality, but they should strike us. First, because it was clear that Peter was struck when he heard from God what he was to say. He even tells those assembled, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone unclean." It's not that Jews thought God excluded the Gentiles. Their theology believed that God reconciles all people to himself in the last days. It just seems Peter didn't think it was his job to witness to the Gentiles. The believers who had come with Peter were also astounded. They were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. This passage goes on to tell us, "For they heard the Gentiles speaking in tongues and extolling God." Then Peter says, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he orders them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter was sent to these Gentiles to teach a message of radical inclusion, one that he had just learned himself. Secondly, this lesson should strike us because if we're honest, we know Christianity can still be exclusive, acting as if there are insiders and outsiders. When we know, if we're listening at all to Jesus, if we're reading Isaiah, we too, like Peter, are to see the vision of the family of God that he desires for everyone. God adopts us all as children, right here, right now, in our earthly journey. Imperfect as we are God's. I have a few friends in my life who were adopted as children, given up by their biological parents for this reason or that, and taken into a new family. And I have some friends who have adopted children of their own. It is quite a curious thing to most of us, the experience of adoption. It's not common. It's curious because we wonder sometimes what the backstory of the child is. We think how trusting and brave the parents must be. We hope that the new family will find ways to love and support one another as they grow closer. We scarcely know of the struggles there are in adopting a child. One of my friends told me recently that their biggest struggle has been getting their child to believe that this is real and forever, and that she won't be sent back to her foster family if she is bad. What do you do to help your child understand that they will always be yours, no matter what. You take your child by the hand and hold on. You walk hand in hand, sharing your experiences and all that you have each day of your life. You stay with your child and assure them. You model for them what love is and tell them when you are pleased with them. I think we are enamored with adoptive parents because it seems so amazing, sharing such a love, a deep parental love with a being you've grafted into your family. It is the stuff of greatness. Adoption is an extraordinary sharing of love. And it is just what God does for us in baptism. We are brought, grafted into the family of God, and we become heirs of the kingdom with all the rights and responsibilities of being a part of the family. Whether we're good or bad, we remain part of the family. Jesus models all of this for us in his own baptism. And hears the Father call him beloved. And immediately sets off to do his ministry. Next week, we will baptize a new member in the body of Christ. Hopefully you can be here. We'll renew our baptismal covenants, recommitting to what we believe and what we're called to do as a church. Spoiler here, the promises we'll make have nothing to do with being at church on Sunday, every Sunday. The church does not exist, folks, to be an end to itself. This is what Peter learned, and this is what we need to hear again. The church does not exist as an end to itself. We come together to worship and to give God thanks and to support one another so that we can be sent out to find our ministry and to serve all people impartially, incredibly, as Peter would call it, loving all of God's divine, diverse creation as part of our own family. Stir up in your church, O God, that spirit of adoption which is given to us in baptism, that we, being renewed both in body and mind, may worship and serve you in sincerity and truth. Amen.